than we are on the page marked Yud Ches. We are up to Yud Aleph on the top. See if Yud Aleph. Everyone has it? Dan, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Aser lilvos ilahutzi hamos litzorcho b'inyan shelo yimtza hamalva mimat ligbos. We've been talking about, it's hard to remember already because of the snowstorm last week, but we were talking about borrowers who don't pay. Borrowers who have the money and don't pay. So now we're sort of moving backward in time to say that one is not allowed to borrow money and spend the money for one's own benefit, creating a situation in which he will lack anything that the creditor can collect. Okay, so I am not allowed to borrow from somebody and then spend the money in such a way that there's going to be nothing for him to take. Aval, however, meikar hadin, Rashi halova laseis matana o lahavos maos hahalva lachol misha yirtze. He says technically, the borrower is entitled to borrow money and then give it away as a gift, or lend it to anybody he chooses. And further, the creditor is not able to prevent him from selling off his assets, even though the creditor will now not be able to collect from them. So in other words, what we're suggesting is this. It is bad, it is wrong for the borrower to get rid of his assets, to liquidate them, but nobody can stop him. That's fundamentally what it sounds like we are saying. Of course, we have to see the footnotes to get a better understanding, but that's where we stand right now. So take a look first at Se'if Katan Chaf Vav. We're on the page that's Yud Ches, and we are on the bottom part, about 8 lines down. Okay? Chaf Vav. Oh, you have one. Yeah, no. I knew that I had some that were Yud Ches. Yeah, no, I think you're going to need to look on with Dan. Oh, no, no. Hang on. Hold on one moment. Let's see. Yes, we do have one for you. Okay. Anybody else is going to have to look on. In any case, if you take a look, actually, before we see Chavav, take a look at the side sheet, source Aleph. Okay? Where I brought you the quote from the Shulchan Aruch on which he will be commenting now. Shulchan Aruch writes, Asur lelova lakachas halva lo tziya shelo litzorech. The borrower is not permitted to borrow money and then spend it unnecessarily. Note that he added in a word we didn't have before. He says unnecessarily. Ula abdon, to destroy it. Ad shelo yimtza hamalva mimalik boschovo, to the point where the creditor is not going to have the means of collecting. Vim osake nikra rasha. Someone who does so is called wicked. And this is because of the pasuk we've seen, lo ver rasha v'lo yishalim. The borrower who is wicked borrows and will not pay. Uksha malva makiras halova shubal midazu. Not only that, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you know that a person who comes to you for a loan is this sort of guy, that's what he's going to do to you, mutur shalo lilvoso mimashe yalveyu v'yitztarech lenokso acharkach v'yavo b'cholpa mishum lo si elo kinoshe. Don't let him make you a bad guy. Right? Don't lend to him and then end up violating the prohibition against oppressing the borrower who has no means of paying him. So don't get into that situation. Yes?
What also means don't be a bad guy by trying to pressure him not to sell off his property, which you're not allowed to do.
Oh, no. That I don't think would be the bad guy. The bad guy would be in the event that he turns up without money and then you go after him. That's the bad guy, so to speak, situation. Okay. So, with that in mind, take a look now at footnote Chavav, back in the Pesachei Choshen. He tells you first, Shulchan Aruch Simen Tzadi Zayin Seif Dalet, which we just saw, which says, Bim Asakei Nikra Rasha, if somebody does this, somebody spends his assets and then can't pay back, we call him wicked. And that's the pasuk that I invoked, the wicked borrower who won't pay back. Vayim Perak Aleph Seif Hey, which we saw months ago, right? He's referring you. We are in Chav Vav, which is about 10 lines down. Vayim Perak Aleph Seif Hey. He refers you back to something that we saw ages ago. Shem Hamalva Yodeya Shubal Midazu. That if the creditor knows that the borrower is such a person, Ein Mitzvah L'Halvoso. There is no mitzvah to lend to him. Va'adarab, it's what the Shulchan Aruch just said here. Va'adarab, just the opposite. Mutav Shalol L'Halvoso. Not only is there no mitzvah to lend to him, it's better not to lend to him. Vayim Pele Yoetz, see Rabbi Lazar Papo's work, Pele Yoetz, Erech Chov, under the heading Chov, Ubabas Chesed, of the Chafetz Chaim, Sof Chelik Beis, Sherichu Betochachas, Musar Lemisha, Lava Vishalava Veno Mishalim, they went on at length about people who borrow and don't pay back. But then he continues, and he says, Ubier HaTaz, the Taz, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, explained as follows: Sheim motzi amos la osa matara shelishma lava ein isra fil kishma abdam. If the guy spends the money for the purpose for which he had borrowed, right? In other words, he said, "I am borrowing for X. I'm borrowing because I want to make a wedding. I am borrowing because I want to buy a circus." Whatever he told you was his goal, there's no isser, there's no prohibition. He told you exactly what he was planning on doing. You knew exactly what you were getting into. Sharei al das kein hilvo, because he lent him on that with that in mind. You'll have to look on at this point. Ve'af im mishane ha'inyan. And even if he alters it so that he uses it for something else, there's no iser if he doesn't lose the money, if he doesn't get rid of the money. It's not as though you could say the loan was only for this investment. But we assume he's going to do that which he told him he was going to do. He says, as long as the money's around, there's nothing wrong with that, unless he changes it and he ruins it. So let me recap what the Taz is teaching me. We began, it's not on these pages, these are the next page. So again, what we're saying here, what we're proposing here in the Taz, is that there are two issues at hand. One issue is, if you borrow money and say, I'm going to spend it in this way, am I allowed to spend it in a different way, or am I bound by the purpose that I told him initially? That's one question. The second question, if I borrow money from somebody and I want to use it for an investment, and that investment could very well mean that I will not have the means of repaying the debt on time, am I allowed to do that knowing that this guy now is not going to get paid back on time? So what we already saw in the Shulchan Aruch is now explained by the Taz to mean that, number one, I am allowed. I am permitted to change what I'm doing. I can spend it on something other than that which I told you I was going to spend it on, as long as there's money left. That's number one. Number two, I am allowed to spend it for the purpose that I did identify, even if that means that it's all going to be lost. The only thing that's prohibited to me is to change the purpose that I identified and lose all the money. As long as I steer clear of both problems, I'm okay. So as long as I either do what I told you I was going to do, or ensure that there's money left at the end, I'm a good guy. Which makes sense. It's logical, right? If I come to Chaim for a loan, and I tell Chaim, I'm going to use it for this. So it's up to Chaim to realize that means I'm not going to be able to pay him back on time. Because Torchia is investing in circuses, and we know that when you invest in a circus, it takes you a long time to make your money back. So therefore, Chaim knew what he was getting into. And therefore, I'm entitled to do that. That's number one. Now, the truth is that we talked about earlier the issue of the mitzvah of paying back on time. So maybe there still is something wrong in that scenario. I'm not allowed to go into a deal knowing I won't pay you back on time. Maybe it's just that there's a risk of, or something like that. But but number one, as long as I'm doing what I told Chaim I was going to do, that's fine. Number two, in the event that I decide I want to spend it in some other way, that's legit. I can get away with that. As long as there's money at the end to pay him back. Kind of doesn't care what I did with his money. The only thing he cares about is, are the terms going to be honored? Am I going to get the money back in the end? That's the way the Taz explains this rule. Back into the Pesach Choshen now. We're about 15 lines down, the end of the line. Venira Shabamesha Nog are the last words on the line. Because now he brings this up to contemporary times. He says, "Venira shebamesha nahu kayom lichtov o shomer lamalve matarasa halva'a vanda isha aser lechatchila leshakir velichtov o lomer matara acheres." He says, "Today the practice is that when you take out a serious loan, right? You take out a business loan. So the rule is that you have to write down on some form, or you have to tell them what you're planning on doing with the funds, and they are not going to lend to you if they don't like your answer." So he says, in such a case, you are not allowed to lie and give them a more palatable answer. You don't want to tell them you're borrowing it to invest in circuses. So therefore, you tell them, "I'm buying my first house." You can't do that. You have to be honest about what you're doing with it. And certainly, if you know that were you to divulge your true purpose, they wouldn't lend you the money, then you for sure can't do that. We might call that theft. Sharei halvas mos shvei kesef, because lending money is something worth money, and you are now taking it from him. Avol, however, in pireish hamatara nechona b'shas habakasha, if at the time that the loan was originated, you told him what you were intending to do correctly, the achagach lo hutzruch lo samatara, and then you didn't need the money for that purpose. You say, "Well, I've got money on my hands. I'd like to use it for something else." So the goal changed after the original loan. Then based on what the Taz is saying, it appears there will be no prohibition. He says it's even possible to say, based on this Taz, that even if you said, "I'm borrowing the money for commercial purposes, I want to invest in something," and then you decide, "You know what, I have ongoing household expenses, I want to use the money for my household expenses instead," as long as you know you're going to have the means to pay back, there's nothing wrong with that. Because again, you can change from the stated purpose as long as you're going to have the means of repaying. Yes?
Thought you were
going to
have to
be serious. Yes, no one knows anything for sure, but assuming that it was reasonable for you to make that assumption. That wasn't your goal originally.
No, because the person may only have lent you because they thought, "Hey, you're going to do something useful," that didn't. You kind of went under false pretenses.
Well, the Taz is saying no. The Taz is saying, although there's another. The next sentence is going to address your concerns. So hold the thought, Gerald. Okay, so look at the next line. Ella im kain, unless hisna imo hamalve she'eno malva rak lamatarazu, unless the creditor said, and the onus is on him to say, "This is conditioned on you doing it for this purpose." Now, it's possible to enter into a market environment in which that's the norm, that's the default, is that we require that you fill this out, and our loan is stipulated, basically, without saying so. But it's as though it was stipulated that you're going to use it for this purpose. If you create such an environment, then the lender doesn't need to say anything on a particular loan, because everybody has to follow that rule. And then for sure, no matter what the case, I don't care whether you have the money left or not, you will not be allowed to, as you say, to vary. Okay. And then in parentheses he says, "Ukarkasafti b'din eribis she'ein iser lahasnas im alova lishtamesh b'mos halva l'matar mitzv yemes." He says, "I already wrote in my discussion in the laws of ribis, which is a separate sefer, that there's no problem of ribis where you stipulate that the loan can only be used in certain ways. We don't say that you are benefiting, you the lender are benefiting in some extra way by that. Unless, you can get into it where you stipulate to him, you have to spend the money on my..." Then you can get, I think, into muddier water. Okay. Va'od Nira, next thought. He says, it also appears, Shemasha Asur Lahotzi Amos, Hainudaka Kishayodeya Shaloyi Aloba Melifroa. When we said, you're not allowed to do this if you know you won't be able to pay, we're about 50 lines up from the bottom. When we say you're not allowed to spend the money unless you know that you won't have the means to pay, that's where you know you won't have the means. But he says the widespread practice today of accepting a loan for the sake of your expenditures, and you figure that at the time when the loan comes due, so I will reduce my spending somehow, and that way I'll have the means to pay. Right? In other words, you have a guy who says, I am making $1,000 a month. My expenses are $1,200 a month. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take out a loan of $2,400 for the year. And that will cover the difference between what I'm making and what I'm spending. How am I going to pay back $2,400 at the end of the year? Towards the end of the year, I'll start spending less. I'll cut down on the heat, or whatever it is, and that's the way I'll be able to afford to pay back. So he says, that practice, or the perhaps more prevalent practice of taking out a second mortgage. And they're using that to pay the first. So he says, Eino b'chlal ha'iser. So he says, that's not under this prohibition. Because you do have a plan. You have a strategy. It may not be smart, but you have a strategy for how to pay back the initial loan.
So then you have to understand the strategy and to understand
the strategy. Yeah, and it's an above board thing. You're not stealing. Ubefrat she'eino matzuk ha'ayom, mi she'eino metaltlin yosim mikidei sidur, v'akol lefi ha'inyan. He says it's especially going to be okay, realistically, nowadays, because nowadays people have so much property that can be used if the Beis Din chooses to the Beis Din could take control of the person's assets and use it to pay off the loan. The guy may not be happy, but the possibility is there, because people, even people who are taking out these loans for their day-to-day expenses, quite often have, you know, a fair wardrobe, quite often have the electronics and whatever it is, and therefore they're going to be there are means of getting the payment out of them. Okay, Rihanna, you were going to say something. Okay. However, he says, va'adayin yeshle histapik. There is still room for doubt. We're 10 lines up from the bottom. Kishiyodeya sheyuchal lifroa, aval lo yuchal bismancha hisnaimo. What if you know you will have the means to pay back, but you don't know if you will have it on time? Sort of like where I was going with before.
That's the same as motive.
Well, that's the question. So he says, "V'zebarur sheyesh b'zei iser k'shemavtiach l'zman ploni biyodeh shelo yicholam avo." He says it's clear that there's a prohibition against promising I'm going to pay you back by X date, knowing that you're not. Sheover mishum hein hein shelchad tzedek, like we talked about ages ago, that your hein, your yes, has to be honest. Aval yesh l'istapek imhu b'chlal lo vera shavu lo yishalem. But I'm not sure you're violating this prohibition that the one who borrows and won't pay back is called a rasha, because you are planning to pay back. It's just not on time. So that's not so clear. He then says, V'ayin b'sefer Sfas Tamim Perikei. Look at the book Sfas Tamim. I don't know who wrote Sfas Tamim. Sheherich HaChavetz Chaim. There, now I know the answer who wrote it. The Chavetz Chaim. Sheherich HaChavetz Chaim V'kara Tagar Al Riboy HaHotza'os V'HaMosaros Shemevim Esa Adam Lidei Gezela V'Chamas V'Leyos Lever Asher V'Leyos Shalem. The Chavetz Chaim complained about the way people are amassing Hotza'os, expenditures, and Mosaros, luxuries. And he says that drives them to steal, that drives them to Hamas, that drives them to borrow, knowing they won't pay back, and so they're wicked. Because of Sham Shakol Shanisha Biyada Mimon Chavero Beola or Beavla, Afilu Rak Shave Pruta, Arayu Bechwal Isur Gezel. He says, if you have money of somebody else, if it's a pruta's worth, that's called theft. The Chavetz Chaim does not mince words. If you have someone else's money that is in fact supposed to be theirs and they're supposed to have it back, that's called stealing.
So is he saying then that that all these people who are being excused?
The Chavetz Chaim, no, he's not, I don't think. He's decrying the general state of moral decay within society. And he's saying that, why are people doing this? Why are people borrowing money when they know that they're not going to have the means to pay back? They're going to spend it all, and they're not going to pay the person back. And his answer is, because people get themselves into the trap of thinking they need this luxury and that luxury, and they have to have a cottage, and they have to have a whatever it is, fill in the blank. And the result is that they don't have the means of paying back, and now they're guilty of gezel. That's the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim in general has this sort of approach.
And
it's very consistent.
And he lived at a time when the Jewish people were not
I think there were wealthy Jews, but as a general rule, the people were not. But there were wealthy Jews, yes. This is Poland in the beginning of the 20th century. Very much so. Very much so. It comes up in a lot of his writing. He's very into a simple lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yes.
What happens if, for instance, the borrower knows there's certain risks involved in this loan or misinvestment that the lender doesn't? Is it the borrower's responsibility to inform the lender of all the risks involved? Would that really be considered a make-up tout afterwards?
It's an interesting question. Chaim asks whether the borrower has to educate the lender about the risks. My gut is to say that it depends on the level of risk. In other words, if it's really likely he's not going to pay back, you know, if he's doing something that's an incredibly risky investment because he thinks he can turn this guy's $1,000 into $1.5 million, so he says it's worth the risk of not being able to pay back the $1,000, so then, yeah, I think maybe there is an obligation to spell that out to the lender. That would be my gut, but I can't prove that from anything we've said. Yeah. We are four lines up from the bottom. Ubishulchan Aruch HaRav Si'if Hei. He quotes the first Lubavitcher Rebbe to write. Hosif, he added, She'af al pi. Yeah, you know what? I'm just want to see if this is what I wanted to you to see on the sheet. But no, not yet. Okay. Hosif, She'af al pi sha'mal v'ashir gadol v'hu ani. Mishum shnemar lovev rasha v'chulei. He says, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in discussing this, is going to say that this prohibition against borrowing and not repaying and spending all the money and being unable to repay and therefore being called a Rasha, this applies even if your name is Robin Hood. Even if the lender is very wealthy and the borrower is a pauper. Because the pasuk says, "Lovera shavalo yishalim." That's what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav wrote. So the Pisrei Choshen asks, "I don't understand. Why would I have thought otherwise?" Right? The pasuk says, "Lovera shavalo yishalim." Right? One who borrows, knowing he's not paying back, right? As we've applied it here, is a rasha. Why should it be any different if the lender is wealthy? Who cares if the lender is wealthy? But so what? As he writes, me hiter la'ani ligzol mishal ashir. Who allowed the pauper to go steal from the wealthy person and say, well, he doesn't need the money? That's not for you to say.
In other words, if you need stucca, ask for it as stucca.
Yeah.
Get stucca in legitimate rooms.
Yeah. You're not allowed to take something and call it stucca. So he says, "Ve'efsher could be shafilu ba'ofen she'ilu imivakish b'menu b'taras tzedaka hayanosein lo imivakish b'taras halva v'lo lifroa harezi bechlal lo verasha." He says, maybe what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav was trying to tell us is this. Maybe what he was trying to say is where you know the lender, and you know that if you ask the lender for $1,000 straight, the lender would simply extend you the money as tzedakah. If you said to him, "I need $1,000 to cover my expenses," he would give you the $1,000. But you're embarrassed because you're a pauper, but you have dignity, and you feel like it's beneath your dignity to take it. So you say, "I want it to be a loan," knowing full well you're never paying back. So he says that's where the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is trying to teach you that you can't do that. That's called Lovera Shavalo Yishalim. We feel bad for you. But ultimately, you can't say you're going to do something that you're not going to do. That may be what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav was trying to get across. We talked about this way, way back when, from the other side. We said that I'm not supposed to lend somebody money planning to forgive the loan, because that's lifnei iver. I have to say to him, this money that I'm giving you, as far as I'm concerned, is tzedakah. You could choose to pay me back, you could choose not to pay me back. If you get the money at some point, great. But there's no expectation. Because otherwise you're setting him up to violate the requirement to pay back.
Unless you mean you want the money back.
If you want the money back, then for sure you have to make it a loan and say so, yeah. Okay. But now let's look at the side sheet for a minute, because you need this for the next piece. Look at source B's first, please. Source Bay's line of Shulchan Aruch says, Ein kofin oso lahaskir atzmo v'lo laso shuma malacha kedei lifrawa. We do not compel somebody to lahaskir atzmo, rent himself out, or to do any sort of malacha in order to be able to pay. Meaning that if you have somebody who borrows money and does not have the means of paying back, it's not within Beis Din's ability to say to him, you know, they're hiring ditch diggers, you must go dig ditches. You can't force him to do that. And even if the guy made a condition saying, in the event that I don't have the means to pay back, my body is yours, because of Lozebashtar, and he writes it in the document, that now you'll be able to use me for whatever jobs until I paid back the debt. Eino mo'il, that is not effective. Veno yachalo lo osro, v'lo lishtabed bo, he can't lock him up, he cannot enslave him, that doesn't work that way. The only way somebody gets sold is via Beis Din. You may have the evad ivri possibility for a thief, or whatever it is. But you can't make this a term in a loan document. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You can't put it into the document. That's up to a Beis Din to work out. That's not something that you put into your shtar. I heard you. Nonetheless, even if the guy stole outright, it doesn't matter. This is a Beis Din thing. This is not something that you just some do, you know, creating an evad ivri. I'm sorry? That's in terms of the guy who hasn't yet paid back. That we don't force him to get a job. I don't understand what you're asking. We don't force him to hire himself out or to do any malacha in order to be able to pay back. That's correct.
But if he did this on purpose, knowing that he can't pay, we said it's like stealing.
No, first of all, we said it like stealing. We didn't say it is stealing because the money came to him legitimately. That's number one. Number two, the idea of forcing him to go hire himself out is not the same thing as Evad Ivri. Evad Ivri is functionally a different entity. I also don't know if the Shulchan Aruch is simply saying we don't have Evad Ivri Bizman HaZeh. That may also be part of this. But take a look at Gimel now, which is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he says, we quoted part of this already, Asur lalova sheyika chalva o lahutziya shalo letzarach esek parnasaso be'inyin shuma abda min amal veshlo yimtza mimaligbos chavo. A borrower is not allowed to take out a loan and spend it unnecessarily. There's that unnecessarily that we saw before. Meaning, not for the sake of his parnasa, is his phrasing actually. Not unnecessarily entirely, but not for the sake of his parnasa. In such a way that the money will not be accessible for the lender. Vimosake nikra rasha, if he does that, he is called wicked. Apishamalva asher gadol u'ani, even though the lender is wealthy, as we already quoted. Shemar levera shavalei shalem. Avalim hotziya letzarech esek parnasaso. But if he spent the money for the sake of his living, so in other words, it was legit, right? He spent it on his business. Ve'achar kach mata yado ve'ein lo lifroa. And then he bottomed out. And he doesn't have the means to pay. So in other words, the guy has a business. Okay? He has a store. He borrowed money for a legitimate purpose, to buy merchandise in order to sell it. Based on his charts, he thought he'd be able to sell everything off and pay back the loan. Something happened, the market tanked, whatever it was, and now he's stuck with merchandise, or maybe something happened to ruin the merchandise, whatever it is, and now he can't pay. So we say, anusu. Right? He is anus. He was forced into this. This wasn't something he could have predicted. It's not his fault. He's not obligated to hire himself out or engage in some kind of labor to be able to pay. Although, he is now in this category of the borrower who is wicked and isn't paying back. So what we now need to understand is what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is saying here. Where is he anus? Where is he rasha? That's what we now need to tackle. So take a look back in the Pesach Hoshen, please. The last few words on the page that's headed Yud Ches. He says, Od Kasa B'Shulchan Aruch HaRav Sham. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav wrote there as well. We just read it. Shem Hotzi HaMa'os L'Tzarech Yisko. Here you have a page that's marked Yud Tes. And here we'll give you a page marked Yud Tes as well. Okay. If he spends the money for his business, V'Achar Kach Madai Matai Yado, and then things collapse, and he can't pay. So he is in an ones position. He's not obligated to hire himself out, as we saw. And he says, I in Lahalon. Fine, we will, God willing, at some point. But then he says, Ava Pishanikra Rasha, even though he is called a Rasha under Lover Rasha, Velo Yishalim. Vilchora Nira, Dikai Gama Onus Shanikra Rasha. So basically, Choshen says, you know, it sounds like you're calling this anus person a rasha. Is that not what it sounds like? It sounds like you're saying this guy who was stuck in this position through no fault of his own is a rasha. V'imkein may nafkamina bein anus v'lo anus. In which case, why'd you bother saying it was ones? Right? If he's a rasha, then saying it's too bad that he was forced into being a rasha is silly. So what did you mean? So he suggests the following. The Esher, it could be, Shekishahu Anus, Eino Nikra Rasha, El Kishayako Lahaskir Atzmo, the Eino Osekin. He says, if the guy is Anus, he is not called a Rasha, unless he has the means of hiring himself out, and thereby paying, and he chooses not to. And this is what we call, I'm going to make a distinction here, anus b'tchila versus anus b'sof. Anus b'tchila means not that you were anus at the start of the loan, but at the start of repayment. Anus b'tchila means came time when you should have been repaying and your wallet's empty. You didn't try anything bad, you didn't spend the money in the wrong way, but you don't have any money to pay him back. That's anus b'tchila. But you still have the possibility of hiring yourself out for some kind of menial job or whatever it is, and that way you'll be able to pay back. So in that case, you're not onus basov, you're not onus in the end, because in the end, you could have paid him back. And if you choose not to go after that job, then that makes you a rasha. In order to evade being a rasha, you have to also be onus basov. As he continues to say, if he doesn't have any sort of work, he can't find any way to get work. If, in the first place, he took out the loan with intent to spend the money in whatever way he ended up spending it, so Ava became Nikra Rasha, he could still get called a Rasha. Because he put himself in this position of being unable to pay. So in other words, it's anus betchila, but not anus besof. Sorry, it's anus besof and not betchila. You follow? First we set up the case where he spent everything properly, right? So he was anus betchila, but he could have hired himself out at the end. So he's not anus besof. Now we're going the other way. He was not anus betchila because he borrowed the money planning to spend it in ways that aren't going to produce funds. And then in the end he says, well, now there's nothing I can do because there are no ditches to dig. I'm anus besof. And we say to him, yeah, but you weren't anus betchila. You chose to spend the money the way you did. Therefore, Rasha. Aval, however, on the fifth line, if from the beginning he borrowed it for his business, that was what he did. And now he can't find any means of digging ditches or whatever to pay. Since he's honest beginning to end, then maybe he evades the title of Russia. Because he did everything right, and he's just stuck. That's why he explains the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Basin can force you to fulfill a mitzvah, right? But here maybe it's too indirect. Maybe it's indirect. In other words, we say if someone has money and chooses not to pay back, we learn that we do force him to repay. That was the Gemara in Ksubos, we quoted it last time around. But maybe here it's too far removed. We're going to force you to go dig ditches in order to have money, which you're then going to use to repay, maybe too distant. That may be why. I didn't look to see who the Shulchan Aruch was quoting when he said this, so I don't know his source. But that could be why.
It really does directly oppose the spirit behind Ebony Free, that we try to make the victim whole.
Okay. I'm good with that. Yeah. Well, humane is a funny thing, because realistically, what the borrower sees as humane, the lender sees as criminal. Right? The borrower is very happy when we're lenient for him and say, we're not going to force you to dig ditches. The lender says, well, that's great. I'm going to go bankrupt because I was a nice guy and extended a loan to him. He better be digging ditches twice. You know, the borrower and the lender aren't going to see eye to eye on what is considered a leniency. That's important to remember. I'm giving a shiur, God willing, assuming I can get it together, on the 30th, on bankruptcy and the Jewish client, one of my lawyer shiurim. It's not simple and straightforward. The whole bankruptcy system that you see in Western law, with all of the reasons why it exists, more or less doesn't exist within halacha. So I wouldn't be so quick to maybe say that we're siding with the borrower. In one particular way, we're making things easier. But I'm not. I also think that what makes things easier for the borrower by laws of economics will end up making it harder for the borrower, right? Because anything you do that's going to favor the borrower is going to make lenders less likely to lend. If I know he doesn't have to dig ditches, then I'm going to think carefully before extending a loan. So we have this constant battle within the Gemara in which, in certain cases, we say we want to help the borrower, and in other cases we say shlotil delas bifnei lovin, to prevent a situation in which credit will not be extended, we're going to make things harder for the borrower. So it sort of goes both ways. Okay, I'm jumping now in the Pesach Choshen down to the big word besefer. It's about 12 lines down or so. You see it? Besefer hizaru b'mamon chaverechem, which sounds like a great sefer. Right? Be careful with the money of others. I have no idea, again, who wrote the sefer. Maybe b'shem echad mechachmei hamusar. He quotes one of the leaders of the Musar movement. Shanishal imutar lilvos al smach bitachon shehashem yazor lo v'yuchal lefroa. Are you allowed to borrow money saying Gutman Helfen, right? God is going to take care of it. Don't worry. God is going to provide the means for me to pay you back. Sorry? Yeah. The Heshiv, and he responded, Shemargish ba'atzmo shahayamava la'acherem al smach bitachon yochol gam lilvo. So he gives a sharp answer. He says, tell me, would you lend to somebody else who gave that to you as their plan? When you asked them for their business plan, they said, God is going to take care of it. Would you extend the loan? That'll determine whether you can take out a loan on such a premise. Vinirish shezel miderech hamusar. He says, yeah, that sounds like a musar kind of response. Omnam, however, v'mishnebrua simin reish mem beis kasa v'shem habach be'inyan alval et tzarech shabbos shem yuchol lahasik alval et tzarech lilvos v'yiftach b'shem she'azrenu l'shalem. He said, regarding borrowing money to have for Shabbos expenditures, the Mishnebrua writes, by quoting the Bach of Yoel Sirkis in the 17th century, that if you can get a loan, borrow money and trust Hashem to take care of things. That's what he writes. Now, this is part of a much longer discussion, which I brought you material for on the sheet, but it's already relatively late, so we may come back to that next time. But let's read what the Pesach Choshen has to say. The Ater Zakenim says, now do not borrow unless you gauge that you'll have that with which to pay back. The Mishnah Berurah's conclusion is, it all depends on the case at hand. The Pesach Hoshen says, in my humble opinion, he says it could be that it's not a general statement about mitzvahs, that you can borrow money like this for any mitzvah, but Oneg Shabbos specifically, we are told, Hashem says, borrow and I will pay you back. And that has its own set of rules. Where is this coming from? So take a look, please, on your sheets. We'll do a little bit of it at any rate. Source Hey, Pasuk in Nehemiah. Vayomer Lahem, Nehemiah says, L'chu ichlu mashmanim ushesu mamsakim ushelchu manos la'in nochon lo. Go eat the rich foods, drink sweet drinks, send gifts to those who don't have. Ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu, today is sacred for our master. V'al te'atzevu, do not be sad. Ki chedvas Hashem hima uzchem, Hashem's joy is your strength. Meaning, Hashem wants you to celebrate on this day. Hashem is taking care of everything. That's Rosh Hashanah, correct. So now, take a look at the Gemara on that source, Vav. What does that mean? The joy of God is your fortress, is your stronghold. What is that? So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Abelazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem said to the Jews, Bonai, my children, Levu Alai, V'kanchu Kedushas Hayom, borrow on me, it's on my tab, and dedicate the sanctity of the day, V'haminu bi, trust me, Vani Poreya, I'll take care of it. That's the Gemara. The Rishalmi, source Zayin, Amr Yochanan, a very interesting line, Lovin Beribis Lechaburas Mitzvah, well, the Kiddush HaChodesh. Rabbi Yochanan says, we borrow money on interest in order to be able to create Chaburas Mitzvah, which I added in brackets means Seudas Mitzvah, and Kiddush HaChodesh, which they made a big communal Seuda when they declared Rosh Chodesh also. Now, how can you say you borrow money on interest? So the poskim there, reading that, say, you borrow money on Ribbis Dirabanan in order to fulfill a mitzvah. Now, what that means requires its own discussion, which is not what we're going to discuss right now. But the point is that they draw from there this idea that making a Seudas Mitzvah justifies something which I wouldn't be allowed to do in other circumstances. Take a look at Source Test now. Tosfos writes, Levu alai vani poreya, on that Gemara in Beitza that we quoted. V'hada amar asei shabatcha chol v'al titzarech lebrios. What about the Gemara Pesachim that says better to make your Shabbos like a weekday rather than need the assistance of others? Hanimili kishein lo lifroa. That's if you don't have the means of paying back. In other words, Tosfos tells me no. Do not borrow if you don't have the means of paying back. So on the one hand, I'm being told, borrow and don't worry about it. But Tosfos is saying, when we say, don't take the help of others, that's when you have no means to pay back. So what do I make out of this cholent of sources that Tochina is rushing through? Take a look at source Yud. The tour. V'kama po'amim nasasi v'nasati b'davar lefnei Adoni Avi Zal. He says, many times I discussed this issue in front of my father, who is the Rosh. Kamoni ayom, someone like me, the Tour writes, Sheyeshli ma'ad mishali, I have a little of my own. Ve'eno maspikli, it's not enough. V'tzarach ani la'acherim, and I need the assistance of others. Im ani b'chlal asei Shabbos chachol im lav. Am I in this category that don't do things for Shabbos? Make Shabbos like the week rather than need the assistance of others. V'lo hashivani davar barur. He didn't give me a clear answer. My father wouldn't tell me. Achar kach matzasi b'pirkei avos l'rashi. But then I saw Rashi on Pirkei Avos. Shapire Shalahim Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer have a az kinamer. We have a Mishnah in which Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says, you should be bold like a leopard. So Rashi writes on that, Shakasa Vizela Shono, Takef La'osa Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Asei Shabbos Chachol, Shnuya Ha'id ben Tema. Two Mishnahs side by side in Pirkei Avos. In one, Rabbi Akiva says, make your Shabbos like the week, rather than need the help of others. And then the other, ben Tema says, be bold like a lion, like a leopard. Why? La'oruye to show. Rabbi Akiva lo amar el lemishasha dechuka lo biyosef. Rabbi Akiva was only talking about somebody who really is stuck. Aval tzarech adam lezaris atzmo kenamer ukenesher lechabet shabasas beyoser. But the person is responsible to energize himself like a leper, like a nesher, in order to honor Shabbos to the extreme. So what he's saying is, you have to really push yourself before you're going to say, well, my Shabbos has to be like a Wednesday. Al-Kain, and therefore he concludes, the Torah concludes, Tzarech kol adam letzamtzim b'shar yamim kedei lechabet ha-Shabbos. You have to do is reduce what you spend on other days in order to honor Shabbos. The upshot of this line in the Torah, is that he is very uncomfortable with the idea of taking assistance from others for the sake of your Shabbos. You have to just work at it. But now we'll take a look at Sura Yud Aleph and the Bach on the Torah. And this is what was quoted in the Pisnei Choshen. He says, Sarach iun besafek zesh nistapek rabbeinu. He says, this requires some examination, this doubt that the Torah had. On the one hand, you could explain it to mean that he needed to get gifts from others in an honorable way. But you could also explain the opposite. It could be that his doubt was, because he wasn't sure whether Rabbi Akiva meant to say that you should make your Shabbos like a weekday, specifically if you need to depend on everybody constantly. As opposed to where it's only occasional. We're not sure where Rabbi Akiva was making his statement. V'anachon, he says, what appears correct here is this. Demasha kasav Rabbeinu v'tzarech ani la'acherim. When the Torah wrote, I need the help of others. Hainu lilvos mehem l'parnasaso below mashko. That's talking about needing to borrow from them for his support without providing a collateral for them. Kilo hayolo mashkar, because he didn't have an item to give as collateral. Dim hayolo mashkar, why is suffek the pshit of the chayav lilvos al mashkar? If he had the collateral, he would be obligated to take the loan. Lekai mitzvah onik shabbos to fulfill onik shabbos kemoshim afurish petosus peitza tesvav amamar levu alay vani parei. Like tosus that we saw in source tes, he says that what I understand is this: the Torah was saying that tosfos that we saw said that when Hashem says, borrow, and I will pay you back, that's talking about where you have a mashgon to give, where you have a collateral to offer. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, who said, don't borrow, lo amar ella b'delo efsherle, she'en lo kla mashgon. He's talking about where you have no mashgon. Then Rabbi Akiva says, so then don't borrow. If you have the collateral, borrow. You don't have the collateral, don't borrow. Aval Rabbeinu, but the tour, our master, Aval Pishalo Hayalo Mashkon, Hayu Malvim Lobolo Mashkon, he could get loans without a collateral. Vinistapek imhu bechlala seisha bas chachol. So he didn't know, is he in Rabbi Akiva's rule or not? Deshemelo tasigya dav lifroa ha-halva'a im yotzi harbe lechabe Shabbos. Because he doesn't know, maybe he won't have the means to pay back. Vihe bechlal lova rasha v'lo yishalem. He'll be then called a rasha. So he's in a unique category. Normally we say, if you have the means to pay back, I'm sorry, if you have a collateral, so then you borrow. Because worse comes to worse, they'll take it out of the collateral. And if you don't have collateral, you're not getting loans, you're getting tzedakah. But he's getting loans without collateral. And his question is that appropriate for me to do for my Shabbos expenditures? And if they do in fact forgive the loan, when he can't pay, then he has fallen on the assistance of others for the sake of his Shabbos. Or maybe it isn't in that category. Maybe not. Maybe he should in fact borrow and trust that Hashem will take care of it, because he can get a loan. If you can get a loan, then you do it. Which is it? So he says, "V'alze Omar Rabbeinu shetzara chadim lazaris asma l'chaved Hashabbos ayde alva me'achirim." And that's when he said, "You have to energize yourself to honor Shabbos via alone from others, or yizdais b'malachi yisera, or by doing extra work, or letzamtim b'shayom l'chaved Hashabbos, or by minimizing what you spend on other days." But that was his point, that then you have to energize yourself via perhaps a loan from others. So the upshot of this, and I realize that I did run through this way too quickly, but I think we can put it all together. The upshot of this is that the Bach, which the Mishnah Berurah quoted, says that if you can get a loan, even without a mashkon, even without a collateral, then that's what you're supposed to do. And trust that Hashem is going to help you to pay back, because it is for the Shabbos expenditures. You have to work in every way possible to be able to do this, but that's what he says that you would be expected to do. And when do we say "Yaseh Shabbos Chachol v'atitz tarich lebrios"? That's if you can't manage to get a loan. You have no collateral. That's what he's talking about. It will be different for another mitzvah. That's what the Pesach Hoshin concluded with, saying, "Yeah, maybe Shabbos is different. Shabbos might indeed be different." We still have to see more next week about this, because we have two more footnotes yet on this, two more footnotes yet on this Pesach Hoshin. But what we established this week is, number one, you can't borrow knowing that you're going to be unable to repay. That's rishus. That makes somebody a rasha. That's number one. Number two is that you have to spend the way you said you were going to spend. You're allowed to spend on something else, assuming that you're still going to have money to pay back, and assuming there was no stipulation of "you must spend on this," whether explicit or understood. That's number one. Number two, we said that somebody is only called ones if, number one, he spent appropriately and this thing's bottomed out, and number two, he doesn't have the means now of making it up by some other means of work. That was the second major point that we saw. Third major point that we saw was this point about borrowing for the sake of a mitzvah, where we said that maybe for the sake of Shabbos, one will be entitled to borrow, doing everything he can to repay, and then just trusting Hashem is going to take care. And when we say that you're supposed to make your Shabbos like a weekday rather than need the aid of others, that's talking about the person who doesn't have the means of getting a loan in the first place. All right, we'll pick up next week, Rabbi.